When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. It's that time. It's time to thank the ice cream truck drivers. Thank you, ice cream truck drivers. Right now, I'd like to thank Jeff Harris, Jonathan, Lori Elsroth, Leon Kassab, Matt, I Want to Scoop Baby Daughter A, Malia, Paul's brother, Polygon, Pyro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sarah Boyle, Scoop Du Jour, Scoop a Pussysaurus, Scoop Kata, Scoop K, Scoopy Kaye, motherfucker.
There you go.
The thing that'd be easier. And Thunder Cougar Falcon Scoop, if you want to be an ice cream truck driver just like these.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fine, folks, head on over to preachingfun.com. That is where you can go to sign up to be an ice cream truck driver and deliver all that fucking ice cream straight to people's fucking ear holes. And who knows? The life you save, well, it may be your own. Here's the show.
Hey, Johnny, do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
I'm in Chicago, guys, the city of light.
Yep, that's what it is. Light and hot dogs, I think.
Is that a picture of a swing behind you? Is that an actual picture behind your bed?
It is.
Yeah, Matt's in a swinger room. It's time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social, sitting over in Chicago. That's Matt Donnelly, sitting in Pittsburgh. That's Paul Mattingly. I'm Jacob the Audio Guy. We're preaching fun.
What's
up, Chicago, Matt?
Hello, guys. It's actually it's more of like a rendering, more of kind of like a painting picture than an actual picture.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a giant carnival ride.
It is a carnival.
Where people sit on
the
swings.
In the, background.
The one in Kings Island was called the Zephyr.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked those when I was a kid. I always wanted to go on those after a water ride. You'd go on the water ride, and then you'd go on the big swing thing that just swung you around a lot and dried you off.
It's a dry cycle. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Because I was a genius child.
Smart kid.
The Chicago Magic Lounge put me up at a Westin, put me up at a very fancy hotel.
It looks nice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How nice.
High class ladies at the bar.
Say it again.
I was thinking Chicago Magic Lounge had the apartment for you, but that's Magic Castle, right?
Well, last time they do have an apartment. They did put me up there. Good memory, Jacob. They did put me up an apartment last time. But they also have this thing called like an artist in residence. And so what happens is that they give the apartment, if they have an artist in residence, they give the apartment to them and put the visiting artists up in hotels.
So you're an artist, not in residence.
No. I'm an artist, and I'm an artist in and out.
Yeah,
dipping it in, dipping it out.
Yeah, you are.
No, I was just gonna say you've got a high class caliber of lady at the hotel bar. I take it.
I went to the hotel bar last night after my show, and they were very good people working the bar there.
Excellent. I think Paul's asking about the prostitutes.
Oh, no, I looked around. I didn't see any.
Nobody?
I even held up a little flag, like open for business, you know, and I like put a little flag.
I just need someone to hug me.
What is the current?
Someone hug me.
What is the current I'm looking for a prostitute code?
I think it's unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt.
Maybe.
I think if you wear an unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt, they're going to come knocking.
You know, there's that intricate code within prison.
I don't think it's a guy wearing a sweatpants and a sweatshirt playing Boom Beach on his phone while drinking Diet Pepsi. I don't think that's the...
Well, what
that
the...
Didn't send him running.
Who knows what the fuck that's... you were signaling with that? That might have been some real dark shit.
Oh, you're signaling something.
Yeah,
there.
You summoned a fucking scarecrow.
It's good that you got out of there when you did.
I don't know what that is. Yeah.
I was tired, but I wanted steak frites. I wanted to watch college basketball, but they had the less interesting game on the screens, and it wasn't worth the hassle to ask them to switch over to Alabama, North Carolina.
They didn't have that game on. That was a great game.
I know. No one seemed concerned with putting the best games on the TVs, and that's why I didn't bother. It was late. I was tired.
They were like, "We've got games on the TV. If you want something else, fuck you."
Yeah, yeah. Turns out they'd had it out somewhere on the TV down the hallway. There's a big gathering around a TV in the lobby where I could have joined the fun there. But because basically I did a show. I woke up at 6 a.m., flew to New Albany, Indiana, or flew to Louisville, where I had to drive to New Albany, Indiana to do a show. Southwest didn't ship one of my bags. And so...
Oh.
But they were rerouting it, so I had to basically go straight to the theater, set up, then have someone else go back to the airport, get my bag, set it up, and do my show in Indiana, and then drive straight 5 hours to Chicago Magic Lounge, set up there, and do a show. So I was pretty tired.
Ugh.
That being said...
Boy, the life of a touring magician is so glamorous.
That's so glamorous. And then you got fucking... I got like 3 suitcases filled with bullshit, right?
Yeah, right.
Someone's helping me unpack.
Oh, that's for your new bullshit bit that you're doing, right? The bit where it's like, oh, everybody gets a pile of bullshit.
And someone helped me unpack in Chicago Magic Lounge. And they're like, is this coming in? I was like, yep. And they're like, is this coming in? I'm like, yep. I was like, and you might think that empty pizza box is from me eating lunch. Nope. It's propping my show. Bring it in. Bring it in. My reputation precedes me.
Have you had
me.
Anyone throw away your empty pizza box yet, thinking that it was garbage?
It's one of the newest elements of my show, but no one has yet to throw it away yet. But
that's going to happen.
It's going to happen for sure. But it won't be at a Chicago Magic Lounge. They have so many magicians come through. I'm sure they're used to being like, don't touch it. It's a magic box.
Is it clean?
My pizza box?
Yeah.
Or the Chicago Magic Lounge?
I know the answer to the latter.
I'm interested in both questions.
I know the answer to the latter. It's a bunch of fucking magicians. It's got to be like a fucking rat maze in there.
No, that place is beautiful. They keep it totally.
Aside from all the magician shit,
well,
magician scat everywhere.
I am the pollution.
Right.
But yeah, it was funny because like as I'm packing up, like little pieces of confetti are falling out. Like Jade has feathers. I have little pieces, and they literally were like diagnosed. Like someone's picking it up to make sure it's off the stage before they open the house. And they're like,
oh yeah.
And they're going through the magicians to be like, who's am I picking up? You know, whatever. And I was like, it's mine. That's what you're picking up. But no, they're quite used to it. But the pizza box is a clean pizza box.
Okay. Does it now? Are you looking about maybe getting one that's custom? Is it funny or is it just some general generic pizza box?
It's just generic. It has a little bit of I could have gotten a plain white one or a plain cardboard one, but I got one with like an Italian street scene on the top.
Hot, fresh, whatever.
Yeah.
Pizza hot. You need to get a blank one and you need to make like fish pizza. Or have a fish in a chef's hat holding the pizza, right?
Maybe it'll read. I don't know if it'll read, but it would.
You know, think that people like, is that a fucking fish holding that pizza? And call it anchovies.
It'll be an Easter egg. Anchovies for about 2
pizza
people a show.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Yeah.
Well, I was. Yeah. So
if you get a really nice piece of anchovies pizza, Matt, you know, my noodler pizza, and it's got a really cool fish with a chef hat and everything, you could sell t-shirts with that.
Yeah, but I think it's got to be trunk pizza if I'm gonna do a custom design.
Oh, you're right. It's got to be Trunkers. You got to just use some Trunkers. Dolphin pizza. Dolphin fresh.
I don't know.
Trunkers dolphin safe pizza.
That's it.
Dolphin safe pizza.
Yep.
It's the pizza of the sea.
So I'm there. I'm supposed to do a half hour.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of my set. We're doing the Battle of Wishes. They're chucking balls over stage. I'm quickly trying to grab balls and throw them back at the paper balls, crumple the paper balls, throw them back at the audience.
Great.
And my pants split wide open. Just
total ass blowout.
Well, no, I wear underwear on stage. You've
no, scumbag. But I mean, no, no, I'm referring to the location.
You can see that sparkly thong.
I'm referring to the location because it could be a frontal thing or it could be a rear thing. No.
It was a rear.
That's better.
I agreed.
Because I remember our friend show. James Asmus had a very similar situation in one of our shows.
I know.
But his went like ass to crotch.
It did.
It was like a full expose.
And he wasn't wearing underwear.
No. So there you go. So I'm just checking in because I know who you roll with. I know what's going on.
We had gone.
Sorry, Matt doesn't have a cough button in Chicago.
I'm sorry, I don't have my cough button. I'm looking for the mute button on Zoom. There, it's hovering now. I promise. James, we'd bring them in. We brought James Asmus and a couple of friends in to do the show, and we were staying at my place, and so we had a little pool in my condo complex. So mm-hmm. James hadn't brought swimming trunks, so he went swimming in his underwear, which, you know, that's fine. That's a fine choice. But then he didn't have underwear on.
Right. I was very curious as to how you guys knew the story of why he didn't have underwear. That's a much more reasonable explanation than I was expecting.
Yeah. And he finished the show, too.
He did. He finished strong.
Yeah.
Strong and hard.
Yeah, so lucky it was the bags. Strong and hard. So I could barely turn around as least amount as possible throughout the show. But see, I did at one point, I turned to show that I'm cuffed behind my back for the straight.
Yeah, and they got to see the little.
So I was like, I hope it's better not be distracting. This is a key moment.
Probably not. It's probably not.
Well, no one said anything.
Then there you go. You're all good. Now, see, this is the change up from overalls to pants, right?
Exactly. Exactly. First casualty.
Yeah.
First casualty. It's what I get. Trying to outclass myself. This is what I get.
Well, and you went hard pants for some reason. You didn't learn the lesson. I have an excuse
Matt is
right
hard
now.
Hard pants.
I have not done hard pants in a couple weeks because of surgery still.
Right.
But it's also just way safer as far as blowouts go.
What's funny is that I couldn't find my pants before the show started. And, Because I put
you got sabotaged.
They were in the pizza box.
There's a group of clandestine magicians who want me to fail.
Those aren't magicians. Those are just people that have seen your show.
This must be stopped.
Yeah, for the sake of everyone else.
Cut his pants. That's enough of that quote unquote magic.
I didn't bring a fancy hanger because fancy hangers take up space and have weight,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm basically within a pound when I'm traveling now, and so I just had a regular hanger. And while I was driving, the pants slid off the hanger onto the floor of the car. And so I loaded everything in, and then I was like, I don't have my pants. And so for a second, Paul, I had a pair of black sweatpants in my bag. So I was like, am I going to do tucks on top, black sweatpants on the bottom?
And nothing wrong with that.
Yes, there is.
Meeting on the top, party on the bottom.
Yeah, the fucking performance mullet. There's something wrong with it.
Now, you know what the wardrobe people on the Broadway tours used to do?
If you call it the performance mullet, you got to hit business up top, party on the bottom, easy access. No blowouts.
I mean, the thought was, I was like, there has to be like good looking tuxedo pants that are actually like for acrobats that must look good that I should probably invest in.
Oh yeah, no, you just get the ones that are they're not like the full stretch pants, but they've got a little bit of that stretchy material
yeah.
in with the cotton and everything.
Just, what about
gives them a little bit of give?
Straight up breakaways.
Just
who wants that?
I mean, there's got to be a moment for a reveal, right?
I don't know. It's not much to reveal. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know.
You're revealing the dick.
No, I would think another fish
You're
is in there.
You're revealing Sweet Maddie's D.
Sweet Maddie's D would be another fish.
You guys want to follow me on Twitter? Sweet Maddie's D.
There it is. There it is. That's the closer, man.
No, Boom. You know what the wardrobe people on the Broadway tours do to deal with the pants hangers? Is they get the wire hanger with the little cardboard tube on the bottom, like the dry cleaner hangers, and then they just put little pieces of double stick tape on the cardboard tube.
That's
so it just keeps them from sliding off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a wardrobe tip for everyone.
I like that. I have double stick tape.
Wardrobe tip, everybody.
Yeah.
Wardrobe
yeah,
tip.
Yeah.
Just the wardrobe tip.
Just the wardrobe tip.
Now, when this starts trending on Twitter, we'll know why. It's because it's their wardrobe tips. That's right. Brings in the new ears right there.
Come for the funny, stay for the wardrobe tips.
So despite my splitting of pants, I finished with a strong show.
And good.
The manager just comes back stage afterwards like, hey, Matt, great show, buddy. Great job. You ran a little long. And I was like,
oh, no.
Oh?
Because it was supposed to be a half hour, right?
30 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
I go, and basically was like, I read a lot of the wishes, you know? I did a lot of messing with the crowd. I can turn that down. How long?
Oh, shit.
I fumbled with the, I couldn't find the reveal for the Battle of Wishes thing. It took me a minute to find the right way to orient the prediction to my own frustration. I'm sure I can tighten that up. And he goes, you were 8 minutes long.
Oh.
I was like, okay. He goes, I'm sure you can just tighten stuff up. And I go, I'm sure. And left the room and I was like, no, you can't. I can't. I did not do 8 minutes of groundwork. I did not do 8 minutes of camping. I have too many tricks in my show.
You got to cut a trick.
I got to cut a trick. Yeah, yeah.
What are you cutting?
Well, right now the lineup is baseball cards. Card stab, t-shirt cannon, Hondro's paper balls with a new punchline, like a physical, I'm revealing a person now, and straightest jacket escape.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I it's the trick I've done the most, but I think I'm going to cut the baseball card routine.
Hmm.
Yeah, that seems right.
I would go with card stab.
You would cut card stab?
One of the card ones. I think you're right on the instinct of one of the card ones.
Yeah,
I would
cut
the card stab because I think the baseball card one plays into more of setting up who you are and it gets the crowd more involved off the jump.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the card stab, he gets to use the big knife.
Yeah, but it's not as personable and, you know, really gets the crowd invested and locked in as like, oh, we're really part of this. And, oh, that's some shit I haven't seen.
Well, all right.
This is an argument, Paul. This is an argument I got to think about now. Because card stab, I wrap my head in tinfoil and use googly eyes, which everyone seems to remember and really like.
Sure.
But
I just know, you still got the fishing pole, right?
I have the fishing pole.
Yeah. I mean, that to me just kind of puts my noodler out there a bit.
All right. I'm going to think on it.
I'm not saying one way or the other, but given that it's two card tricks in a row, your instinct is right to cut one of the cards tricks.
Yeah.
I think you got to just suspend the whole show until we get to the bottom of this.
Sorry, everybody. The artist must think.
Yeah.
I'll call Chicago Magic Lounge. I just can't.
Yeah. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
They'll understand. I'm sure it happens all the time.
Yeah, I'll have to find Paul. Really, give me something to think about now. Now I'm wrestling.
That was my first thought. Was like, oh, what I it, especially I was when you read it out. I was like, okay, one of the card ones probably stab instead of noodler because it's also, I don't know, just very Americana with the baseball and it gets everybody in their feels and makes everybody think about hanging out with their parents and shit and good memories associated with sports and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think about the first time I saw Field of Dreams. And then I realized, oh, he finished the whole trick. And while I've been sitting here thinking about Field of Dreams. And so that's kind of nice for me.
Yeah. Most of the time people go like, when I go home, I'm going to watch Field of Dreams. That's it.
Yeah. And they leave early so they can go watch Field of Dreams.
And I think it's the only time I can think of that I've seen a magician use baseball cards as the
cards. I mean, that's what makes that trick. That's why it's the most performed trick in my set, is that it's always right. Like,
it's unique. It's
my own version. Yeah.
That's it. I think it's just got a lot of what sets your personality off from the jump.
Here's what I'll do. I'm going to go out and I'm going to explain both tricks to the audience.
Hey, let them choose.
Go ahead.
And then they can vote on which one.
Which one would you feel more
Matt,
appreciative
of? Your set tonight ran even longer. I'm pretty sure it was the audience poll that you did in the middle of your set.
It's my fault for selecting advocates for each trick and then hosting a debate.
You know, I like the Lincoln Douglas format as much as anybody. But, you know, I told you when 8 minutes over the other day, not only did you not cut anything, you added a Lincoln Douglas style debate in the middle of your act.
I was like, oh, I didn't realize we don't have time for democracy in our country. Last I checked, I was performing in America.
Well, now you fucking know, don't you? We're out of time for democracy. Episode title, yeah. Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social, Out of Time for Democracy.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you who else ain't got time for no democracy shit. And that is the following sponsor.
Today's show, Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social, brought to you by the fine purveyors of quality products. Like creepy Best Buy guy, part-time job at 7-Eleven from Bear Scoop from March of 2022.
Excellent.
Hey, welcome. How are you this evening? You need any gas?
Oh, fine.
Need any gas? Let me put any money on the pump.
Yeah, if I get $10 on three, that'd be great.
I will put $10 on the pump for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a special on my roller dogs.
I don't really want a hot dog. Thank you, though.
That's not what I said. I said I got a special on my roller dogs.
Right, those are the hot dogs, right? Right over there?
No, I put a skate on my penis.
Oh.
A single four-wheeled, old-timey, young man skate on my penis.
You were saying roller dog, roller dog.
However you want to say it, but I assure you, it is also covered in that spray that they use at the roller skate and bowling places.
I would like one of those.
Okay. But I warned you ahead of time that I use the spray, right? So when you get that taste.
No, that sold me.
When you get that taste, you know, oh, it's going to take you back, huh?
Yeah, no, the spray is what got me going. Enter Hate Scoops to check out. I recently watched a movie this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
The Ryan Gosling remake of Roadhouse.
That's not Ryan Gosling.
Or Brian, who is that?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. They are the same person.
How dare you besmirch Ryan Gosling.
They are exactly the same. Well, I also watched, I rewatched like the first half, I don't know, of Deadpool yesterday. So Ryan Reynolds was in my head. I knew it wasn't Ryan Reynolds. That's all I was, that's the math I just did.
Now
you've heard my out loud math.
Gotcha.
The new Roadhouse, first of all, is wonderful. It's just so wonderful.
I have heard nothing but absolute turd bowl reviews.
oh, they are wrong. If you had any joy and watching the original Patrick Swayze Roadhouse when you were a young man.
Yeah.
This movie is for you. It's in the same vein as Top Gun Maverick, where they're like, fuck everybody else. We are making this movie for people who liked the original years and years ago. Those okay. are the only people that we care about in making this movie.
Does Swayze make a ghost-like appearance?
No, no. It doesn't really reference the first one at all. It doesn't seem as
is
though
it a
these
remake?
Two things.
There's no Easter eggs.
There's no real Easter eggs.
It's a reboot. It doesn't contain. It's not in the same universe even.
I don't know. So it seems to be in. It seems to possibly be in the same universe.
You're an expert of the Roadhouse canon. How come you can't answer these questions?
Oh, no. I believe I have all the information they have given, and I don't know the answer to these questions.
Sure. Who was it? Was it Kris Kristofferson? Was he the old guy?
No, they don't bring in an old guy.
Oh, no. What's his name? It was Mustache.
Oh, in the original
Sam Elliott, yeah,
wasn't in the original Sam Elliott.
I'm getting old, man.
No, that was
how
in his
dare
sexual
you?
Prime.
Right,
yeah,
that's when he was a
Sam Elliott is still in his sexual prime.
Barf.
Sam Elliott was born in his sexual prime.
Barf.
He was
farts.
Also born with a giant mustache.
Yarg.
You're gonna get yourself a roller dog.
Roadhouse roller dog
with that spray.
Coors Brewing. Get yourself a roller dog on me. Spray.
A little dabble, do you?
But they did something weird in this movie. That's not true. They did a lot of things weird in this movie.
Yeah,
but they did one thing that that I especially noticed in this movie that might change how modern cinema works. I'm being a little bit serious with that statement.
Okay.
So we've discussed on here before. I believe it was Matt that noticed this and clued the rest of us in on it. The way that fight scenes are filmed in Hollywood, it changed during Matt says during the Bourne movies, right? But like between a couple of the Bourne movies,
they changed with how much violence dictated an R rating, and so they started doing these kind of weird close-ups where you can't quite tell what's going on, but you know fighting is happening.
Right.
To decrease the violence rating.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, boo. No
That's
wonder
when they changed
suck.
To like the punch would swing, and then right before it would make contact, the camera shifts to a different angle real fast,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you hear the sound effect, and yeah. So they did not do that in the new Roadhouse. What they did instead was they CGI'd the people a little bit. I have not researched this at all, which is how we like to do things here on Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. But they CGI'd the people to some degree so that you could just see them. You know, if they swing a fist, they're hitting somebody in the face. You see the fist swing and you see them hit someone in the face, seemingly in a single shot.
Okay.
Seemingly in a one shot. And it makes the violence in this movie so incredibly violent.
Really?
Because you just see everything. Well, you just see
teeth
flying.
Imagine
Roadhouse is rated R or TVMA, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. It's rated R.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Right. It's direct to streaming. It didn't have a theatrical
release. Correct. And which I believe this is the reason. I believe the reason it didn't have a theatrical release is because of this violence.
Oh, really?
I think if it had gone, I can't imagine that a lot of places were super excited about picking it up. Because, like, it's got not Ryan Reynolds in it.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
It has Jake Gyllenhaal
in
it.
A guy with his own very successful movie career, Jacob. He's done many.
Yep.
He was Mysterio. Donnie Darko.
I really like him in this movie, too.
The Prince of Persia.
And then
not
Conor
bad
McGregor
casting at all
it.
For that. Yeah,
yeah,
the Conor McGregor thing is all I keep hearing about. I keep hearing that he just walks through the whole movie looking like a constipated gorilla. It's just the craziest shit I've ever heard. And
I wouldn't say constipated gorilla. I would say excited bulldog.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. I saw his walk as that of an excited bulldog. Different animal entirely.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
so,
he just, yeah.
Yeah, Amazon had no interest in putting it out in the theaters. They wanted it simply just to be a prime and a driver of prime programming. And the director went on this freaking, campaign. Just everywhere he went was like trying to drive up demand to try to pressure Amazon to release it in theaters.
And really?
Yeah. And Amazon was
like, I'm with him.
What's the difference?
More people deserve to see this film.
What's the difference? Is it that much money to be made in theaters anymore?
Well, it is interesting time, right? Basically directors and actors and everybody, you go into movies because you want your stuff to be out in movie theaters, right? Your Netflixes and Amazons and Apples come along and they are saying they're going to go straight to video, and you just don't get the same kind of feelings that it does when it premieres in a movie theater, and you get box office numbers. And
I think you get, I think it's noticeably fewer people see it if it doesn't go into theaters. Cause I mean, a lot of people still go to movie theaters.
Right.
And, if you go to a movie theater and you got 12 options, I mean, you're going to at least hear about all 12 options, or probably, at least most of them.
And then what helped the companies, your Apples or Netflix or whatever, was the pandemic, where all of a sudden we all started agreeing to put movies out.
Yes.
But that's where you brought up our friend Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise waited on Top Gun Maverick to come out. And when he did, it created huge numbers, and everyone credited him for quote unquote saving Hollywood. And ever since then, Apple and even Netflix have caved to doing theatrical releases. Now, some can argue that there's money to be made in theatrical releases, like Killers of the Flower Moon did find the box office and then is also going to be driving Apple subscriptions, right? Mm-hmm. But each movie presents a different case for each company, and they weigh whether or not it's worth it. But Amazon has not budged. Amazon has not done theatrical releases for any of their movies.
I think they missed the boat on this one. I think they should have done a theatrical release on this.
I agree.
I think they would have made some money.
I think it would have opened to a certain amount of money for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think they messed up on this one. I think their bottom line suffered a little bit by not releasing this one.
It probably some sort of nefarious contractual thing too, where they get out of paying a certain amount of residuals and all that kind of thing too.
You agree to all those in buyout numbers, right? So you're saying if this came out of the theater, we would have measured this, that, and the other thing, and the Amazon goes, fine, we'll pay blank up top, all of it up top.
Yeah. Was it Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow movie? Mm-hmm. Is that because wasn't she one that really came out against everything going straight to streaming or something because of the way the contracts were written?
When they filmed Black Widow, there was no such thing as COVID. And so when COVID happened, they released Black Widow on Max.
Day and date with theaters.
Yeah.
That was one of the first big ones that did that, right? If not the first.
And she had an older, she had a pre-COVID contract. And so all of her financial incentives were tied to how it would do at the box office. So she actually sued and successfully won her lawsuit.
Oh, I didn't know she won.
Yeah.
What did she get out of that? I'm looking this up now.
She got like $1, $5.
$1 billion.
Good for her.
She got breakfast at Denny's for life.
Oh, Rudy Tooty, fresh and fruity.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That's IHOP.
That's pretty solid. Let's see. 2001 movie she starred in. It was released. On Disney Plus the same day it was released.
Disney Plus. I got it wrong.
21.
Yeah. Oh, 2021. I was like, I thought you said 2001. I was like, oh my God, how old did it get all of a sudden?
Oh, jeez.
Because I know I lost some years there, but geez.
She made $15 million up front. And then, she got about $40 million on the back end through that lawsuit.
Yeah. And 40 is more than 15.
Oh, that is not confirmed. That's what Deadline reports, is that right around $40 million. But because
you're not allowed to
terms
say
of the lawsuit were not actually disclosed.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Because that's always tied into those things too.
Yeah. But she's not thinking about the price of gas, She's not worried.
That's right.
No.
She also doesn't know what the price of a gallon of milk is.
No.
And that's fine.
No.
You know, people always say that to say like, oh, this celebrity is out of touch with the common person. They don't know how much a gallon of milk costs. And my response to that is always like, I don't know how much a gallon of milk costs. Apparently, I'm rich enough to not know the price of a gallon of milk.
No, you know,
I think it's less than $5, but I'm really not sure.
What's funny is, like, it's basically for people with children because every kid drinks milk. But we're kind of a non-dairy family. We don't really do a lot of dairy.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so I don't buy a gallon of milk ever.
Right.
But I have looked at the prices just because of that metaphor. I'm like, I look at it.
You just want to make sure that you're in touch with the common people.
And the prices are all over the place, like eggs, right? Like, yeah. I was like, oh. Eggs prices are up. I was like, man, I find eggs cheap, expensive, and very expensive in the same place, in the same fridge. And milk, I find to be very cheap, like $2.79 for like some, I don't know, ghetto brand gallon, you know?
Right.
So there you go. Milk, question mark.
M-A-L-K.
$6 or $7.
Oh, wow.
If you want, like...
Yeah, SJ and I don't go grocery shopping together very often. It's usually one of us or the other doing it for the house.
Yeah.
And but when we do, she scolds me because I don't look at prices in the grocery store. Yeah. I just grab, what I want and throw it into the cart. And I'm not looking at that price because I'm like, well, whatever it costs, I'm buying it. And it's bitten me once or twice.
How so?
It's bitten me once or twice where I get to the cash register and I go, wait, that's how much?
Right.
And then I have sticker shock at the cash register and have to then decide, go ahead and bite the bullet and purchase this thing that I have taken off the shelf and brought all the way up here.
And the cashier's like, oh,
I'm sorry, I don't want that now. Yeah.
You're pissing off cashiers.
Yeah, it's only my fault.
I buy chocolate milk.
All right.
How's the price of chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk is a little more expensive.
Now, do you buy the really nice chocolate milk? Do you buy like the high-end chocolate milk that they have in there? Or do you buy just like the regular gallon of chocolate milk?
I get the half gallon. I don't go crazy. But I get just the local farm stuff that we have.
Oh, that's pretty good stuff then, right?
It's good. It's good. It's very good chocolate milk, yes. But I don't go crazy on it. But if I do ever, but we're the same. We don't really buy milk except for if we have something we need to cook, and then we'll just get a little tiny little thing. Yeah. But we get a little bit of almond milk for cereal, and then I will splurge and get a chocolate milk if I'm thinking about it when I go buy my chocolate milk.
Yeah, that's why we got to follow the price of oats and making oat milk. You know, we got to like worry about whether there's an oat shortage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But no. I'm going to give a shout out, by the way. A bunch of scoops came out to my show in New Albany, Indiana. The theater.
Oh, that's awesome.
Theater only held 35 people, small little theater. And I'd say like 10 of them were podcast listeners of one podcast or another.
That's awesome.
Cool. It was very cool to come out, especially because New Albany, Indiana, just outside of Louisville, it's a tiny little town. It was so cool to see everybody come out.
It is.
Give out a lot of chips,
people in their gear.
Familiar faces. It's just people we know.
Oh, nice.
Just people we know.
We have the best listening community out there on the internet. Yeah. People, a lot of people say it, but
we know that it's true.
Ours is the truth. Yeah.
Yeah,
we know that everybody else who says it is mistaken. I'll tell you who else is mistaken, and that is the following sponsor.
Today's show is brought to you by Matt Donnelly's Guide to Having a Midlife Crisis or How I Became a Magician from Mike Nielsen in 2023. I believe he's actually coming out tonight to see my show in Chicago. Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. All right.
Buying a table to levitate somebody, it's still cheaper than a Corvette. Fuck you.
Enter Hay Scoops at checkout.
Speaking of shopping and whatnot, the wife and I went last week to Walmart, and I used this as an opportunity to get my, this is when I was still, using a cane,
okay.
Occasionally,
because did you use the Walmart Rascal?
Just use the cart, like I had been doing. I've been using the cart for a year.
Like a
when
walker.
I walk around shopping, that has been the thing that helps me actually get through moving around in the store without looking too incredibly jacked up and having too much pain. But and honestly, I can't tell you guys how much better it is. I'm still in a lot of pain from the surgery itself. And right. last night I got on my knees to do some stuff with my video games, and I got back up and I could just hear and feel this rip of my fucking quad muscle. It just shattered. It just like, ah, but that's what happens. 'Cause everything got realigned. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so everything's tight and has to get, and it's just like normal bodybuilding.
Did you tear your quad?
Basically, I didn't tear it completely, but okay. it tore. There was tearing because I was like, ah, and I had to sit down immediately and just sat there seeing colors for like 5 minutes. Like, oh my God.
Oh, no.
Very intense. Very
what,
intense.
What time did this happen? Because maybe the time I tore my pants and the time you tore your quad was the exact same time.
It's possible. This was very late at night.
Probably.
This was like 1 a.m. Pittsburgh time, so I don't know.
I don't know.
Boy, it hurt. And so I've been walking the dogs and, you know, trying to stay active and doing my physical therapy exercises and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I'm still pretty stiff on that side. And
Yeah, you are.
Yesterday, I was like, wah! So today I'm up and I'm just, I got nothing going on there. I can barely get up the steps again. So I've got, it's going to be, but that's what they said. It's ups and downs. That's how this recovery process goes. But everything else is in the positive. But we're in the Walmart, and Anne goes off to get something, and I'm just kind of lagging behind because I'm still moving a little slow. Mm-hmm. And I hear this couple arguing, and this lady's like, oh, real nice. And he's like, yeah, great to see you. Real great to see you. She's like, yeah, not lovely to see you too. And then he goes, how about you go fuck yourself? I mean, loud. I'm like four aisles away from this conversation.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, you can't see these people.
No, I'm like, oh, shit. And then I meet up with Anne, but I'm also like, I'm spacey because I'm like, I'm listening, right? I've got my super radar salt pork sonar going on. Like, I want to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
And there's an announcement over the PA. It's like, we need a manager, blah, 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 blah. We need a manager now. Manager. And Anne's like, Anne's talking to me. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm listening to what's going on. And she's like, what? Into, like, what are you doing?
Spidey sense fugue state.
I'm totally not even paying attention to her at all because I'm like, what's happening? What? Because you never know. But I was right to be concerned. I was right to be concerned because as we were leaving, that couple had been taken over by the cops. There were two cop cars, and they were standing there, and they were still yelling at each other in the parking lot as we were leaving. While they were being detained by police, they were yelling at each other still. So
that is a bad day for everyone involved. Ooh,
buddy, boy. How about you go fuck yourself?
Yep.
I was
just so loud in the Walmart. Just like, what?
Yeah, got arrested in the Walmart again.
I mean, that's exactly like, whoa, just pause for a second. Where is your life, dude? Like, what do you do? You're
bailing your friend out and being like, what happened? Like, I ran to Peggy at Walmart. Like,
oh well, fuck. I get it, man. Yeah, totally, man. Understandable. Yeah. I'm surprised you're not in for murder. But seriously, you're going to cause a public disturbance right in the Walmart? Also, we've all come up with Vegas Walmart. And
yeah,
I'm not making light of at all the tragedies that America has seen happen in Walmarts across this country. None the least of which happened in Vegas. We had terrible shootings in Vegas Walmarts and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
Like, real deal. Like, but we also used to have 24/7 Walmart, which I loved.
Yeah,
and would frequent. That's where I got salt pork. That's where I got, because I like to see the behavior to a point.
Yeah. You like 3 a.m. Walmart people.
Those people are fucking wackadoodle. But
crazy as all that shit that I saw, it still did not escalate to the point of having to call cops because of your, you can act a fool in a Walmart.
Right.
I was just about to say, what I'm realizing right now is that Walmart does not ban as many people from their stores as they probably should.
Well, I
like,
don't.
Those two people, like that manager, the GM, whoever's around, should say to them as they're being escorted out by the police, also, you're not allowed to come back into this Walmart.
I wonder,
or we'll have you arrested for trespass.
I wonder if they got 86'd. I wonder if they got trespassed. I don't know if that's a, again, that's maybe a more Vegas thing, right? Like trespassing just becomes an understood policy because
maybe.
It happens so much in casinos. And then we understand that, oh, corporations can just say you're not allowed here because you don't know how to behave like a human being. Although corporations don't really have a leg to stand on there as far as
I was
human
in
behavior.
Sam's Club the other day. I went and got I texted Paul and Matt this. I changed out my turn signal light bulbs on the truck the other day and I felt inspired by Paul. So thank you, Paul,
hero,
for inspiring me.
I'll be your hero.
Not all heroes wear capes. Some of them just lean on Walmart shopping carts.
It's me. The leaner.
But I did car work this week. I swapped out the turn signals, and I needed new tires. Wow. So I went to Sam's Club and got a new set of tires on the truck because SJ's taking the truck on a work trip for some band stuff next week. And
did
the
they do the install
were,
for you and low. Everything?
Oh yeah, they did all that stuff. But you know, I had an appointment. But even with the appointment, you know, it took an hour and change.
Of course,
so
that's not a small thing.
Oh yeah. So I did my shopping in Sam's Club and was, you know, walking very slowly. And you know, I was exploring Sam's Club more than I usually do when I go in there to just do my regular shopping.
Truly shopping.
You know, any aisle that I walked past, I was like, I'll walk down this aisle.
Browsing.
Oh, this aisle seems to all be dog food. I don't need any dog food. Let's see if there's anything else on this aisle that isn't just dog food. Nope. This is a dog food aisle. Next aisle. You know, that was my day in Sam's.
Yeah.
But as I was back at the front of the store about to go get my truck with the new tires on it, I'm standing there waiting to get the phone call that it's all ready, and I hear this woman behind me just say, "Well, why the fuck did you bring that in?" And I turn around and she is speaking to a child, I would guess 8 years old.
Oh, no.
Matt knows very well that I'm terrible at looking at kids and gauging how old they are. Yeah. But
I'm 45,
a young child.
Jacob. I'm 45.
I thought you were 8.
Okay.
Oh, well, that means that we could fuck. That's good news for me. So this woman, apparently her child has brought a backpack in with him. And it's like a school, you know, it's clearly a school backpack.
Yeah.
And she is worried. My presumption, I did all this math, you know, on my own. My presumption, though, was she was worried that either her child would take something off a shelf and stick it in the backpack, or that someone would think that the kid was taking something off the shelf and sticking it in the backpack.
Going to get profiled.
That's it. And family of color. There's
well,
some stuff going on there.
Then her concern was valid, unfortunately.
That's it. You know,
the sad reality. I saw a TikTok just recently.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Have you seen this one? We're in the Hobby Lobby.
No.
No, I have not seen this TikTok. Matt, have you seen this TikTok?
The one TikTok?
Yep.
This young black girl, college age black girl, is in the Hobby Lobby, and she is being just stalked by one of the associates her entire shopping time, right? Oh. Just constantly surveyed.
Yeah.
She flips the script. She's very polite. She's enthused about making purchases and looking at the stuff that she's interested in. But she asks, instead of just being consistently harassed by this person following her, and instead of antagonizing it and making it a big thing, she just asks her that she holds her possible purchases for her.
Great.
And so she basically
has
a shopping cart valet throughout the rest. And we're like, man, the kids are going to be all right. But it's a terrible reality for black folks in this country that they just get profiled off the jump. And that mother, her concern was, I don't want you to be harassed.
Yeah.
And that's
I hope that was the concern.
That's exactly what it is. And it's terrible that we have to even.
That's what I was hoping
for.
Oh,
man. It's, I don't want you to be. I mean, it's worse than I don't want you to be harassed, because it escalates fucking quick in this country. Right. I know.
And she did. Because I hear her say, like, why the fuck did you bring that in? And I didn't exactly whip around, but I turned around quickly.
Sure.
To see what was going on. Because, you know, somebody had just raised their voice in
strong,
loud
language
behind me.
Is designed to get attention, yeah.
Yep. And she kind of looked at me, like, she and I made eye contact at that point.
Right.
And she looked at me with kind of an apologetic look and kind of gestured to the kid. And I put my hands up. I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not criticizing your parenting. I'm not going to comment on it. I got nothing to say.
Yeah.
I just turned around because somebody raised their voice behind me. That's all. That's what I tried to communicate by raising my hands and looking at her. But yeah, I was like, that's tough. On one hand, like, man, that seems like some harsh language to use, directed at presumably at your child.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, you got a lot going on, and I got nothing to say to you. I'm not trying to make your day any worse than it already seems to be going.
Well, but it's just a sad state of affairs, and it's just a protective instinct coming out strong, because it is so dangerous for young black kids carrying anything. Any foreign object can be cited as, you know, something for people to act on, and it's not fair, and it's terrible. But that's why she had such a strong reaction, because she's looking out for her child.
And I'll say we've talked about how I teach your kids that we don't teach that there are bad words. We're just like, you know, watch where you use that language, and if you offend anyone, it's your fault, and you're supposed to express yourself better than that kind of stuff. Parents curse in front of kids, man. I'm going to soccer games.
Oh, sir.
My kids, like, the thing of, like, I mean, it's crazy. I'm taken aback by it as someone who makes a living on foul-mouthed podcasts. Yes.
You're like, exactly. What language?
I know. But I'm taken aback. I hear people just curse like crazy in front of their kids all the time. Like, not curse at them, you know?
No, right, just them, using... Like, yeah,
just swearing like crazy in front of them, no problem. And using using our casual swears that we do amongst each other with it, you know, like, just get your fucking shit out of the car and let's go, you know, that kind of
stuff. Right.
You know, like, I'm just like, I guess that's just where it's at, you know.
I feel like that definitely hits me harder than it hits the kids. When I witness that happen, I feel like I am more taken aback by it than the kids are. Which I think is a bad thing, but I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, at the end of the day, you know, language evolves.
Because, like, using the word, like, the word isn't the problem. It's the attitude behind it. You know, when people use, like, if you're cursing in anger at a kid, that seems I don't know. I'm not telling people how to parent. I don't fucking know anything.
No. It's just a matter of, like, large scale, like when you are cursing, you are failing to articulate what you're actually trying to say, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, like, when you see these people casually bailing on actually expressing themselves, I do think it's bad. I think because we're not saying our actual words, you know, we're not saying what we actually feel.
We're not articulating our true desires. I can't remember where I picked up that quote, but, like, maybe even it was that Roxanne movie with Steve Martin way back in the day.
Oh yeah.
When it was like, you know, swears are one thing, but there's so many more creative ways to, you know, use your vocabulary. And that's always something that was ingrained in me too. I love swearing. Don't get me wrong. Swearing is super, super fun, but you can come up with a lot more. Like, I think we get away with and have a lot more fun with our filthy innuendo than we ever do saying just straight up dirty words.
Right.
You know, roller dog is, you know, prime example. Now that's a disgusting thing, right?
Sure.
You smell like the roller dog.
Yeah, yeah. You smell like a roller dog. You need some foot spray.
But if we
like
just
that's,
said,
that sudden, yeah, put you in apoplectic shock.
Hot dick for sale. That bit would be much shorter.
A lot shorter and not as funny. I don't think.
Don't sell yourself short. Your hot dick is hilarious.
Yesterday,
when it's for sale, it is.
I parked in front of the Magic Lounge. No one's there until 5. I parked there at like 4:30, make sure I could load in. Paid for a little parking spot there, and then just walked to go get something to eat real quick. And there was a Korean chicken place across the street, back a block. And I ordered some dumplings and a little Korean chicken. And in walks a family of four. I'm sitting there. The place is, you know, it's a little tiny storefront. It can maybe hold like 20 people.
Right.
I'd say maybe 10 people are in there eating. And then walks a family of four. And for whatever was happening, they were just having a day. It was mom, dad, son, daughter. The daughter is at whatever age where she's just uncomfortable anywhere and everywhere. And so
of course.
She's dressed like a Wiccan in Crocs. And the son walks in.
Croc Wiccan.
And he's like, is this a regular chicken? He's like, no, we're coming here to get different kinds of chicken. You're going to like it. It's different, but you're going to like it. It's delicious. He's like, why are we coming in here? And she's like, you better straighten your attitude out. You better calm down.
Yeah.
And then the daughter like won't even go to the menu. She's just off. Right.
Yeah.
She's like, honey, they have like not just, you know, fried chicken, but they have like rice bowls, really good stuff for you.
Ooh.
Right. And you just watch her like body like cringe.
Of
like
course.
Mom's health advice. You know,
basically, the mom is speaking to me in public.
Yep.
Speaking to me in public, basically whispering, don't be a fatty. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And she's just like, oh, whatever, mom, or whatever. And she's like, everyone is just annoying me right now.
Oh, God.
And the husband just pipes up and goes, every single person like that.
Oh, shit. Oh, she's shit. Like,
well, a second ago, the answer to that question would have been no. But since you articulated that question, yes.
You lumping me in with these assholes?
Exactly. I haven't said
shit. You lumping me in with these two pieces of shit that we raised?
I don't want.
Like, now, yes, you're annoying me too.
I don't want this shit either, but I walked in here and I was going
to. Oh, fuck. Yep. Fuck.
No.
I don't want a fucking rice bowl.
So he goes, every single person's annoying you? And she goes, yes, every single person in this place is annoying me.
Oh, shit. She's a mess.
At which point, I just looked up from my
he's lady, the hero we deserve.
And she and I just made direct eye contact. Like, as if I was like,
me? I'm sorry. I was here. Too? I was just here first, you shit bird.
And she just looks at me. And just sighs, like, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to explain myself.
I'm not going to change my what I said. I stand by my statement. You're annoying. Fuck you. Oh, defiant mom.
I was
mom.
Really hoping she would just make eye contact with you and go, yeah, you too.
Defiant, flustered mom is a
you
real
too, sweatpants.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh boy, human beings.
What are you gonna do? Wear that with a tuxedo?
You look
some
the type.
Annoying fuck.
You look the fucking type.
Oh, that's
wowzers.
Great.
Yeah. Oh man. Parenting. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Yeah. Wee. Yep. No thanks. Check please.
Yep. No, my mother-in-law has, she has started, every so often I get a message from her. It's been rare in the past, and it's kicking up in frequency a little bit these days for reasons, I don't know. But she sent me a little video the other day, just texted me a little video of a young child jumping up and down in a mud puddle.
Ooh.
And, you know, just... a joyous young child jumping up and down in a mud puddle.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. And I clicked on the video. I'm looking at it on my phone. And I'm like, I don't know who this kid is. This is not a kid that is related to us. This is not like one of her grandkids or one of my nieces or nephews or anything.
Just a cute video that she saw that she decided to send you.
That's it. And so I click off of the video, and I see that she had texted some text in there as well that I hadn't noticed at first. And it just said, don't you want to experience this?
Oh, shit. Oh, she's lighting a fire under you guys' ass to have kids. Oh, no.
I mean, this is not new. This is
the
frequency that she's bringing it up is a little increased these days.
Right.
But it's not a new phenomenon.
Oh, the clock is ticking.
That's it.
But you guys are you fairly sworn off?
Oh, no, we're sworn off.
Right. Yeah. Ann and I are like, never.
No. This is it.
Never.
Yeah. Neither of us have done, like, I still haven't gotten around to do that vasectomy yet. Neither of us have done the surgical things to, like, actually put a period on that.
Mm-hmm.
But no. There's no intention at all.
Right.
If I come in next week and tell you guys that we're pregnant, you'll know that it was not on purpose.
Right.
But yeah, so she sends me that, and I just texted back, no, I'm not. I don't regret not seeing that. That's fine. I don't need to experience this, because all I see in that, like, yes, this is a cute video. And if I saw, you know, if I had seen one of Matt's kids when they were, you know, 3 or 4 years old, jumping up and down in a mud puddle and being adorable, I would have said, that is cute, that is adorable, that Matt's kids are doing those things, and I'm really glad that I don't have to be the one to take them home and clean them up.
I mean, I've got a 20-pound dog named Adora. Every time it rains out here, she does exactly that same thing, and she jumps on my lap, covered in mud and gunk, and,
great,
you know, coats my clothes with all kind of stuff. And, you know, she's a cute little shit, but, yeah, you got to wipe her ass. You got to clean her up.
Yep.
It's not just, oh, I'm so glad you're having a good time, dog. It's like, look at the fucking floor.
You know, I agree that having dogs is exactly the same thing as having kids. I agree with
100%.
Paul that they are equal.
Equal in every respect.
Synonymous.
Every respect.
And I,
it's getting more equal as the younger generations fail to learn to read.
Also, my kids are amazing at fetch. So...
pretty they good, are. Huh?
That all is. Right. You're just right. Yeah. You've raised two really good fetching kids.
All right, Jacob, where are we at?
Let's do a little scoop mail.
Yay!
Message for you, son.
We got one on the show that we did last week with Piff. We mentioned the Tom and Dan show.
That's right.
And so we got an email from the Tom and Dan show, from Dan specifically.
Oh, God.
Thanks for the shout out on the Piff episode. We're totally real people. And yes, we're extremely racist. Great show, y'all. If you're ever in Orlando, come see us. Love the show. That's Dan of Tom and Dan.
Holy shit. Dan. That's incredible.
Yep.
Was it really them?
As far as I know, yes.
Hilarious. I think that's just a listener grabbed a Tom and Dan.
I don't know.
Maybe it was real Tom and Dan.
I don't have any reason to think that it wasn't just them.
Well, what up, Tom and Dan? Let's do a home and home. Get back at us. We can, you know, if you're real.
We got one here from a scoop of root canal. Hey, face fuckers, salt pork, I need help.
Okay.
We all know jokes for saying you are leaving or not participating, such as, I'm out like a boner in sweatpants. Matt, that one's for you.
Thank you.
But are there any good lines for saying that you are in? Like, there's in like Flynn, but apart from that, I can't think of any good funny lines for consenting to participate. What have you guys got for that? Fucking you in the face, that's a scoop of root canal.
I've learned, of course, everything gets ruined, right? Everything gets ruined.
Right.
I just saw this giant list of all the shorthand phrases that we use that are lightly connected to Native Americans. It's all just so offensive now, the kind of stuff. But it's stuff that we grew up saying all the time and not even giving a thought to it because it was just part of vernacular.
Yeah.
And it's just like if you think about it just for a minute, you go, oh, God. And the in like Flynn is another example, because that was just a direct reference to his sexual prowess.
Errol Flynn, yeah.
Errol Flynn fucking everything in Hollywood that moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Whether they wanted to or not. Yeah, we need something better than in like Flynn. I'm trying to think. Is there something that
you
guys can think of?
I got it, guys. It's easy. In like Wynn. in like Steve Wynn.
No, Jacob, that's equally troublesome.
What now?
That's equally troublesome. What?
I think
no, like when his elbow went into that painting, we're in like Steve Wynn.
You're in like Steve Wynn is in
we're elbow
priceless
deep
art.
Like Steve Wynn.
Elbow deep in priceless art that I've now ruined. No, I think probably for me, the best bet, safest would be it's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
All right.
Donkey Kong ain't hurt nobody that I know of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Except Mario.
Yep.
I'm
Mario
pushed
a little
into
bit
the sea like the Cherokee. I don't know. That doesn't have a great ring to it.
See, now here we go. Here we go again. We just
that's
talked
Tom
about
Tom and Dan shit we talked about.
Damn it, anyway.
I got that. I lifted that joke straight from them.
You did that just so they'd want us on the show even more. Like, oh, well, maybe these are our people. yeah, let's see. What are some other ones? I think again the general video game culture slogan of let's go.
Yeah. I'm in like a quarter in a pinball machine.
A quarter in a pinball
solid
machine. All right.
That's the best I can come up with. I retire.
Yep. All right. We'll keep thinking about it. We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
We got one from the Microscooped. Having worked in pathology for years, I can tell you what happened to Paul's hip. Oh, good.
Please.
The actual hip. So you didn't get the hip. You didn't get to take the hip home. Oh, somebody sent me I can't remember who it was now. I'll look here in a second. Somebody sent me a picture of a guy who had gotten a hip replacement surgery and he had kept the hip and made it into the handle for a cane.
Yeah.
For like a walking stick.
Yes.
I was like, that's a good one. That's fine use
cool
of a hip.
Yeah.
So from the Microscooped, having worked in pathology for years, I can tell you what happened to Paul's hip. Surgery extracted it and placed it into formalin, which is a diluted formaldehyde, and sent it to pathology. At that point, it wasn't just biological hazard, but a chemical hazard as well. Oh, because they put it in the formaldehyde solution.
Sure.
But that's their fault that it's a a chemical hazard at that point. You did that to yourself.
They did that to themselves.
Well, I assume they might have to even test that tissue for cancer or who knows what.
Well, so once in pathology, the hip is reviewed by a pathologist, where then a segment is placed onto a decalcifying solution overnight. Most likely, this was formic acid. If you were curious, I wasn't, but I'm glad to know it.
Formic acid, the next day, if you're nasty.
Yeah. The next day, enough of the calcium had been removed to allow the tissue to be processed, where we remove the water from the tissue and replace it with wax. This allows the histologist to create a very thin slice of the tissue to place on a slide, stain it, and have the pathology give a final diagnosis. I always recommend everyone get their medical record and read over the results themselves. And after that, you can put it in an envelope, seal it, and shove it directly into the ass of the doctor that wouldn't listen to you. Hope you're doing better, Paul. Chris, the Microscoop.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate it. Yeah, they didn't keep my stuff. And again, I think it was probably just like bone chips and a bouillabaisse of junk in there. It was ready to go. The X-ray that I saw already looked really bad.
I still would have wanted it. I would have been like, I came in with it. I want to leave with it.
I'm good.
Bouillabaisse of junk.
Let's see. We got one here from Scoop Chang. Scoop Chang, Beijing Bugle.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Hi, guys. I'm at a nightclub in Shanghai right now doing some drinking with visitors and my wife. She only listens when I play clips for her, but she knows about the funky DJ air horn sound. And the DJ here has legitimately been doing bow, 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 air horn sound between songs. We just looked at each other and laughed. And because of you guys, thank you. That's Scoop Chang.
All right, DJ.
I like Scoop Chang. Also, laugh anytime I hear a DJ sincerely do the air horn.
Yes. Two dope police.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do a little a jock versus a nerd.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is your time for Jock versus
fragments. Explosion on pants. We got a scoopity coming at us today from Jurassic Scoop. Good day, soakers. Merry belated Chris-bosh and happy new year. This is my ninth submitted scoopity, and here are your totals for the previous eight. Jacob has 8,400 points. Paul has 7,400 points. Matt has 6,400 points.
Okay.
Wow, so we're just a thousand apart, each one of us.
All right.
By the way, we're starting to run low on Scooperties, a Jock versus Nerd. So head over to HeyScoops.com and make us some new Jock versus Nerds. Do a Scooperty, do a Price is Scrite, or do an Obelisk Jock versus Nerd over there at HeyScoops.com.
And it is greatly appreciated.
And if you heard that and you're like, what? They haven't played mine yet. Resend it.
Yeah, resend it.
Please.
Put it back on the top of the list.
Yes, we try our best to stay on top of it.
Yeah, and like I go through and look for them, but sometimes I miss them. So feel free to resend it. And if you do resend it, just say that you're resending it. That's fine. The categories today are Chris-bosh, real or fake Pokemon, Gump and Co., Giant Saint Stealer. Matt, ooh, you're up first.
I'll do Giant Saint Stealer for 400, please.
Let's see. Jalen Hyatt.
Huh. I got a 33% chance here.
Yep.
I'll go Saint.
Okay, I don't think he's a Saint. I don't know. Let's see. It's a Giant.
Oh. Oh, my.
Oh, Matt's got egg on his face.
Very embarrassing.
He'll never be allowed back into the Meadowlands again. Or whatever they call the stadium
MetLife
now.
Stadium.
There you go. I guess Meadowlands hadn't been around in quite a while.
Yeah.
Anything's better than Acrisure.
Let's see. I'll do Gump and Co. for 400. Within 1 year, what year was Gump and Co. published? Well, I see what I've done to myself there. I will be passing. Paul. Paul, I believe you're the only one of the three of us that actually read Gump and Co., right?
I was still in high school. I'm going to say that it had to have been 92 or 93, I would think.
Okay.
This is just a 400?
Yep.
I'll guess 92 because I got a year window there.
Oh, 95. Shit. 95.
Oh.
95. You would have been wrong on both your guesses.
Yeah.
So that you can at least sleep well at night knowing that.
I wasn't Paul, in high school anymore when I guessed it. Real or fake Pokemon for 2000, please.
Ooh. Bulbloom. B-U-L-B-L-O-O-M.
Oh, Bulbloom. Oh, boy. That might be a higher evolution of Bellossom that I don't know about.
It could be. You're right.
It could fucking be.
Take the words right out of my mouth.
I have to pass because I don't know and I don't want to take the hit.
Matt.
Pass.
You were just talking about Pokemon the other day. You're going to pass on this?
Yeah,
I can't believe it. I'm passing too. Fake.
Woof.
You really dodged one there, Paul.
No, I thought it was fake, but I wasn't sure.
Chris-bosh, 400.
Within 2 years, how old is Chris-bosh?
Let's see here. He came in the league after LeBron. LeBron is 40.
Okay.
I'll go 38.
All right, let's see it. 39.
Boom, 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 boom.
Hold on. I got some quick math to do. Is 39 within 2 years of 38?
It's close. I know it's close.
I would have guessed 40. Yeah, I thought he was a little older than that. Let's see. I'm going, I don't know. I'll go Giant Saint Stealer for 800. Paulson Adebo. Paulson Adebo.
Paulson Adebo.
I vaguely recognize that name.
Paulson Adebo.
I'll say Stealer.
Paulson Adebo.
Ah, shit, he's a saint.
He's a saint.
Boy, you guys,
Matt and I both fell into the same trap.
Both eating shit.
Yep. Paul, you're up.
I will try real or fake Pokemon for 1,200.
It worked so well for you last time. Moosicle.
Oh.
It's a cold moose. It's a moosicle.
Yeah. Oh. Oh. So, you know, the word, the names are different in Japanese and American. Mm-hmm. The American ones are usually very pun heavy.
Okay.
So the fact that Moosicle, yeah, I'm going to risk it. Yes, it's real.
You're saying yes. Okay.
Real.
No, I'm afraid the real one is called Moose Knuckle, Paul. Moose Knuckle is the real one.
Might be.
Oh, no, this one is fake.
Oh, no. I got hoisted on my own petard. The real one is Moose Knuckle. It might be.
Matt, you're up. Have any of us got the question right yet?
I got one right.
Oh, yeah, Matt got the Chris Bosh question right.
That's I got one right. Giant Saint Steeler, please.
For 1,200, Lynn Bowden Jr.
I'm going to go Steeler.
Okay. He's a saint.
Oh.
I just thought they'd do one each on the way down. I know.
That's me. I'll close out Giant Saint Steelers. It's working so well for us. 2,000. It's a daily double.
Oh, boy. Here it goes.
Well, I've got a 33.3% chance. Isaiah Loudermilk. Oh. My out loud math is I'm not sure if this name sounds familiar because I know the player or because I know Brett Loudermilk.
Right.
Let's see. We've had one Giant and two Saints. I'll go with Matt's math that worked so well for him on the last one. I'll try Steeler. He's a Steeler.
Hey! Nice. Boo, 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 boo! Good hit.
Paul, you're up.
Real or fake Pokemon for 800.
It's been killing for you. Rillaboom. Rillaboom.
I said a boom, Rillaboom. I said a boom, Rillaboom.
Is that fake boom or a Rillaboom?
This one feels fake to me.
Oh, you're going fake on this one.
I'll go fake.
Real is right there in the name. It's real, Paul.
Yep. Boy, oh boy, I'm getting...
Oh, man, you're crushed by the Pokemon.
Well, here's the thing. I invested in the 151 set that came out last year, which is all the classic stuff that I came up with. Because I know the original 151, the original 200 or so, but it's up to like 1,000 plus now.
Wait,
I am just out.
What? Matt, if I had asked you how many Pokemon are there,
yes,
what would your answer have been?
I would have been said 1,000.
I would have said like 50.
No, Matt knows. Dude, there were 150 in the very first iteration.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Matt, you're up.
Because you don't have kids that collect Pokemon cards.
Yeah, there's
correct. Do your kids do Pokemon cards? I didn't know that.
They do.
Good.
We have that in common, Matt's kids and
I'll
I.
I'll do Chris Bosh for 800.
Let's see. Within one, what draft or what pick of the 2003 NBA draft was Chris Bosh?
I mean, he's got to be a top three pick, so I'll go two.
Good guess.
I mean, he's got to be a high pick because he was drafted by Toronto, who was terrible.
Right.
Oh, it's four. Oh no! You were one of your math. Was perfect. Everything about it was perfect.
My totals for their scoopers is going down.
Yeah, it is. Quick score check in. Right now, I'm winning with 1,200 points. Matt, you're in second place, though. Good news, buddy. You're in second place with minus 2,000. Paul's in third with minus 2,400. It's my turn. We've stayed away from Gump & Co. since we discovered it was actually about the book Gump & Co., so I'll try that for 800. In what war is Forrest Sr. reunited with Lieutenant Dan? Well, what war were they fighting in the first one?
Vietnam.
I remember there was war. Was it Vietnam?
Yeah. I think it's Korea.
No, Korea's before Vietnam.
Oh.
I'm going to pass. I'll pass to Paul.
Yeah, I don't know.
I probably should have told you that Korea was before Vietnam.
I don't know.
It's bad gamesmanship on my part. Matt?
Maybe it was Vietnam.
War.
Right? I don't remember this part.
I'll go Vietnam.
Okay. The Persian Gulf War.
Oh, man.
Oh, reunited.
Yeah.
They were together.
Yeah, because this is all about Gump and Co., not about Forrest Gump.
This is later. Add it to my losses, Jacob.
Let's tally it up.
Forrest Jr.
Down in flames.
Paul, you're up.
I will try Gump and Co. for 2000.
Let's see.
Got to get some redemption here.
Within 25 pages, how long was the first edition printing of Gump and Co., Paul? How many pages is that book?
285.
242. You're so close.
Fuck me.
You're so close. Both of you are so fucking close. And that was a $2,000 question.
Yes, it was.
Matt, you're up.
Oh, boy.
You're both just having bad luck on this scooper.
Yeah, this is a stinker. I'm getting creamed here.
Chris Bosch, 1200.
Let's see.
There you go.
You might hear the defeat in Matt's voice.
This is your daily double, though, man. This is the comeback.
It's a daily double.
This is the comeback.
Yep.
Let's go.
Within five, how many playoff games did Chris Bosch play in during his career?
Shit, man. I mean, they won two championships with Miami Heat and lost two championships.
Yep.
So that's... And then I'm supposed to know whether it was like best of six, best of seven, best of five the whole way through?
That's exactly what you're supposed to know.
All right. Basically, none in Toronto.
Right.
So it's basically just the Heat 4 years. Okay. Yeah.
So how many rounds of playoffs? Series. Yep.
Times four is 16. So it's 16 series. Let's say the average... I'm getting out a calculator. So 16 times 6 is 96. But they're the Heat. They fucking destroyed teams, so I'm not doing 6.
Yeah, they probably had a couple of sweeps in there.
Yeah. I'm going to do 16 times 5. I'm going to do 80.
80? All right. 89!
Oh, so close.
Let's see. I'm just going to go real or fake Pokemon for 400.
Oh, that's the last thing I...
Raichu.
First one I know.
Then I'm going to say that's real. It's real.
And it's Raichu. Yeah.
Oh, good.
You idiot.
Gesundheit.
That's Pikachu's evolution.
Oh, okay. I know Pikachu. That's the only name I would have known.
Yeah.
Paul. You want Chris Bosch or Gump & Co.?
I'll go Gump & Co. Let's go. Let's get redemption. Here we go. Yeah, bringing it back.
What is the name of the German woman that Forrest Sr. eventually marries?
Oh, man. Fuck, no clue. Pass.
Matt?
No.
Not me either. Gretchen.
Gretchen.
Mm. Her name is Gretchen. And Matt, closing out the category and the game, vying for second place, Chris Bosch for 2000. What is Chris Bosch's Twitter handle?
I have no idea. Pass.
Trick question. It's an X handle.
Oh, boom.
I mean.
Bosch 82.
I want it to be. At Mary Chris Bosch is what I
it's
want it to be.
Not.
But I bet it's not. Although I'd really like for Chris Bosch to be in on that joke. Yeah, I'm going to pass as well. Paul.
No, pass.
Let's see. Oh, it's just at Chris Bosch. It's just at Chris Bosch. That's it.
Nice.
That is the game. I win with 1,600 points, adding to my Jurassic Scooperty total. Let's see. Matt is in second. Matt, congratulations
Thank
on second
you.
Place,
well
buddy.
Earned.
Minus 4,000. And Paul is minus 4,400. We are no longer within 1,000 point intervals of each other
no.
On Jurassic Scooperties. But thank you so much. And like I say, head over to HeyScoops.com. Send us a scooperty. Right there on the homepage, there's a button. Send us a scooperty. Send us a price of Scrite Jock versus Nerd. Send us an obelisk Jock versus Nerd. Do all the things. We want to hear from you. We love to hear from you. Please do it.
I want to thank Penn Jillette for creating this podcast.
Thanks, Ben.
And I want to thank the following people who were all drafted fourth in the NBA draft. Superintendent Scooper Nova Girl, Scoop Gar and the Jizz Whalers, Scoopia Loren, Scoopiter Ascending, Scoop JD, Scoop Kata, Scoop Neck Paddywhack, Scoop Lock, Kisa, Scoop Neon Black, Scoop Nick, Scoop Metrics, Scoops O'Hazard, Scoop Check the Experience, Scoopy and the Beast, Scoopy Dooby Doo, Scoopy Ramon, Scoopy Bartfast, Scoopy Scoopy Jess Jess, Scott A, Scott Andrews, Scott Ashlock, Scott Burrell, Scott Moldering, Scott Schofield, Scott Swinford, Scott Swinford, and Scuba Scoop.
The following people just blew out the butthole of their pants. Spotlight Scoop, Spring Loaded Scoop, Stab and Dash Scoop, Stacy Coleman, Streets McGeets, Streets McGreets, Stephanie Young, Stephen Clively, Stephen Landon, Stephen Scott, Stuart Wilson, Strange Uncles Podcast, Strap a Chicken on Scoop, Sugar Rushed Socio, Super Geek 13579, Swedish Scoop, Take It Eevee Podcast Scoop, Tamara Hamilton, Technical Scooport, Temporary.reality, aka Pierce, Turn the Page, Test Scoop, That Thing in the Attic, The Bad Humor Man, The Cincy Scoop, The Curse of Max Tonight's Tomb, The Damsels of Dorkington, The Devil's Lettuce Scoop, The Didgeridoo Douche, The Famous Ball.
And the following people are all pissing off some woman in a Korean chicken place just for existing. Sean Kellner, Jonathan P., Sebastian Robbins, SF, Sean, Shoeless Scoop, Silverfist Scoop, 6 Foot Scoop, Scollywall Scoop, Slightly Slutty Scoop, Slippy Kaye Motherfucker, Smitty Scoop, Smokehouse Scoop, Solar Powered Scoop, Soundman, and Spaghetti Mayo.
The following individuals just yelled out very loudly in the middle of Walmart, how about you go fuck yourself? The Going Over Our Fred's Podcast, The Ice Cream Headache, The Ice Cream Headache and the Mechanical Scoop, The SCOOP, The Salty Squid, The Scooplockian, The Spirit of the Latin Club, The Dirty Scoop, The Man, The Myth, The Scoop, Thomas Beach, Thunder Cougar Falcon Scoop, Timothy Sutton, and TK421 Scoop, please.
And the following scoops really enjoyed Burt Reynolds in that new Roadhouse movie. That's Tom Krieger, Tom Mancardi, Tom Stott, Tony Cowley, Tony Scooprano, Travis Jurgel, Travis Murray, Tristan Guevara, Troy Anthony Tanzer, Tuba Scoop, Tyler Bartlett, Tyler Scoop McDuck, Udo Gearhards, Uncle Cracker and the Non-White Willies, okay, Uncle Don's Woodshop, Walker Ryan, Warren Bro, Water Ice Scoop, Wendy Cooper, Wendy Bumgarner, Wes Coughlin, What Was Like When Scoop, Who Dat Scoop, Will Beardy Dan, Will Kellner, William McDonald, and Win Walker Scoop 23. We really appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much. Hey, if you want to be thanked on air or get a bunch of other cool things that we offer, head over to preachingfun.com and support our show.
Come visit preachingfun.com. It's better than hanging with your mom.
And if you, like me, are shocked by the sheer volume of how many Pokemon there are, head over to fartsinabag.biz.
Farts, farts.
Really surprised by that.
Fartsinabag.biz.
That's fartsinabag.biz. That, along with preachingfun.com, it takes you over to our Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help keep this show on the air. So please head on over to preachingfun.com, fartsinabag.biz. Let us know that you think this show is worth more than $0. We sure would appreciate it.
All right. If you're on the fence about going to Scoop Fest, get off that fence, pull the trigger. Go to ScoopFest.com and purchase tickets today.
Do it.
ScoopFest is coming up May 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's going to be fantastic.
It is going to be an awesome time. Don't miss it.
Oh, and people have asked, I guess some people are concerned that they may or may not be available at that point in time. So, yes, you can buy tickets all the way up to Scoop Fest, including buying tickets at the door. You can just come in, come find me. It'll probably be at the merch table that's in there. You'll be able to buy a ticket to Scoop Fest just right there at the door. We don't guarantee that we'll have all the stuff in the Scoop bag that people will get. But yeah, you can certainly come in and just buy your ticket right there at the door. So please, yeah, head on over to scoopfest.com. Go to fartsinabag.biz or preachingfun.com first, though. Sign up to be a Patreon, get you that discount, and then go to scoopfest.com and buy your ticket to Scoop Fest using your new discount code. That'll show us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we end up missing a piece of swag, if you come late and we can't get a swag order in for you, because of just timing.
Oh, yeah.
We'll make something work out. We'll make it up to you.
We'll take care of you. We'll do whatever we can.
Cut you a deal or something. We'll make it work. So please,
absolutely.
Don't, your pants.
Don't think you're like going to get less for whatever. Just, you know, it's going to work out. So please come if you can make it. You're going to have
I'm going to say this right now. The 69th person to buy a ticket at the door will receive a pair of authentic ripped tuxedo pants from Matt Donald.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care of yourselves out there. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.